Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we're going to chat with Shawn Wright Neely about her book, A Gathering of Butterflies. Welcome, Shawn.
Hello there. Thanks for having me.
Hi. Thank you for being on the show. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your background?
Okay. Well, I am a native Texan, Dallas Texan, and I got bitten by the writing bug at 8 years old. I've been writing stories since I was a girl, and it took me 30 years to get published, but I stuck with it, and I'm still in love with the written word all these years later.
When you started writing, what was the first story you wrote?
Okay, well, you have to promise me not to laugh. It was a story about a little girl who found a strawberry out in the woods the size of a Volkswagen.
Aww. Mine was weirder
Complete
than that.
Mine was
a Greek myth.
Oh, really? That's impressive. Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't really know what I was doing. I didn't know that, but she wrote a little sentence, my teacher wrote a little sentence, and she said, write a paragraph on the sentence, and I went off in this whole storyline about what the sentence was supposed to be about, and it turned out it was pretty much right off the Greek myths without ever having read any of them.
Oh, wow. That is very impressive.
But I think your strawberry story is cute.
Thanks. Yeah, it was complete with illustrations and everything, and I don't know what happened to it. I just remember that I made it out of butcher paper. You can imagine that. So, yeah, that was my first induction into writing and publishing, self-publishing, I guess. Sherry? Sherry? Sherry?
Sean?
Yes.
Hi. Sorry, my phone died. I do apologize.
Oh, no problem at all. Not a problem.
So you were telling about the strawberry.
Oh, okay. I just said that it was complete with illustrations, and I had made it out of butcher paper, if you can imagine that, and I don't know what happened to it. But, yeah, that was my first induction into self-publishing. Sherry?
Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Technical difficulties, everybody.
How much of that did you get?
I heard that you did illustrations and everything, and then my phone, I don't know if it's my phone or Blog Talk, but I do apologize for going in and out like that.
Okay, yeah, no worries. I was just saying that that little project was made on butcher paper.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what happened to it, but yeah, that was my first foray into self-publishing.
What were your influences when you were growing up? Did you have a favorite author?
I did. I liked, and I know this is a guilty pleasure, but D.C. Andrews. I liked all of the children's stories, Dr. Seuss, all of who wrote the Where the Wild Things Are. Was it Maurice Sendak?
I think so. Yeah.
Wrote that? Yeah. I liked all of the classics, and then as I got a little older, it became the Flowers in the Attic series and then all the other things that branched out from that. So not only do I like to write, but I love to read, too.
Is your favorite adult author?
Do I have to just give you one?
You can give it several, as many as you like.
Okay, I do have a few. Love Alice Walker, of course, V.C. Andrews still, and Stephen King, and Toni Morrison. I think the woman is just genius. And Terry McMillan also. She wrote Waiting to Exhale. She's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I've read her. She's really, really visual in her writing. And do you prefer a visual writer or a more flowery writer, you know, who gives more words than pictures?
I have to say, what's the word, very descriptive. That's why I like Toni Morrison. Her writing to me is like when you read a Toni Morrison book, it's almost like a long poem. And she makes connections that you don't normally make. And that's what I really like about her writing. And she really does coax me to be a better writer in that respect, to try to touch all of the five senses, you know, of the reader, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
When you write, do you take it from dreams, from nature, from, you know, are you inspired by books? How does your inspiration come, or all of the above?
Yeah, I'd say all of the above. Maybe, I'd have to say probably, if I can break this down into percentages, like 50% life experiences. You know, there are a lot of pieces of myself in my stories, and 30% they're people that I know. They make great characters. Any writer will tell you that. And what do I have, about another 20%, I think?
Mm-hmm.
I would just say just my imagination. Just, you know, I like to just embellish. I would not really embellish. What's the word? Just decide that the only limit is my imagination, that I can make that person do, you know, whatever. They can win, you know, in the situation if I choose, or, you know, they can fail, or, you know, and of course the setting is my choosing. It's kind of like an omnipotent thing that I enjoy.
That's true, though, isn't it? It is your choice. It is you control. It's like, it's so cool because you can take something that's just a niggle in your mind, and you can make it a visual thing for somebody to see as they read. It's magical.
Exactly. You've got it. We're on the same wavelength.
When you started writing for your own pleasure, or did you start writing to write a book, or how did you begin? I know you did as a child, but how did you begin to actually create your book?
These were all short stories that had been rolling around in my head for years, and I'd written them separately. And then people told me how much they enjoyed them, and so I just decided to collate them all. And I also have a soft spot for short stories as opposed to novels, because you can just read them, like, you know, on your lunch hour, or maybe taking the bus or something like that. That's as a serious reader, I understand, you know, you need your reading fix, and sometimes you don't always have time to read a novel, or to, you know, to come back and pick up where you left off with a novel. So it's really just wanting to give someone the experience of a story that in a way is short and sweet, and it's, you know, just my love of storytelling.
That's interesting. When you were writing it, personally, when I wrote my first novel, I was working customer service, and I was scribbling it longhand between, you know, phone calls or on breaks and, you know, wherever I could. and everyone's, what are you writing? Oh, nothing. when did you have the time to write? Where did you write? How did you get it into your normal day?
Well, I call my, you know, my 9-to-5 job, I call that my Clark Kent job. And yeah, and I'm sure you can relate. You have to come up with a game plan, is to have the time and the energy to write. And for me, it works best to try to write on Wednesday evenings, you know, if there's something I need to write, because it's not the beginning of the week and it's not the end of the week. And my only other rule is that if it's not coming easily, then it's like maybe I don't need to write that Wednesday night. You know, I'll come back, you know, another Wednesday and try then.
Hmm. And were you – okay, when I write, I can black out everything that's around me and just focus on to the world in my head. Is that how you work, or do you have to be quiet, in a quiet place to write?
Let's see. It's, I think that once I get it down initially, when I write down the whole story, just raw, I need quiet. You know, I just I guess kind of a ceremonious thing, you know. It's for the first time it's hitting paper, so I just, you know, I really need to concentrate. And then after that, it's, you know, it's pretty much, you know, music, TV, whatever, when I go back to edit everything. Yeah, some of my stories have, yeah, I'm sure you know that they have like 5 and 6 drafts.
Yeah. Well, more than that sometimes. But the thing that I find really interesting, what you said, is that when I'm writing and just writing, I'm fine. I could have music in the background. I could have people talking. No issue. But when I'm editing, which is not my favorite thing in the world, I have to admit, then I have to have it quiet. then I have to focus, especially when I'm doing the proofs. Like I'm doing that right now, the proofs toward the end and formatting and stuff like that. I can't do it with distraction. Is that how you are too?
In some ways, because you know, just like you, there are some things that it's like you have to just completely rewrite, and I don't want a lot of distractions for that. But when it comes to just looking at the mechanics, you know, making sure that, you know, the typos didn't find their way in there and all that other stuff. Yeah, I can have a little, you know, music or TV or something, because that actually kind of energizes me. You know, it helps kind of push me along.
That's interesting, too. Yeah. I can understand that. I just personally can't do that, but I understand where you're coming from. It's hard because... my last book, I was going crazy over the formatting because it was a nonfiction book and I had pictures in it, and it was totally different than any of the fiction books I'd done. And I was about to pull my hair out because formatting is just as frustrating to me as editing. formatting is when you're getting it typeset for publishing. And if you are an independent writer who does independent publishing, you have to format. You've done that yourself. How do you feel about that?
That's my least favorite part, frankly, because, as you know, I'm a very right-brain person, and all the little minutiae, you know, that you have to go through, you know, it's not fun, but it's necessary. And and I just tell myself, you know, that it'll be worth it, you know, when the book comes out looking very polished and all that good stuff that, you know, just as a means to an end.
Yeah, it's just a very critical thing. You want it to look good, but I'm not a really technical person. And when it comes to that, I was almost in tears.
Yeah, I feel your pain. Okay.
What are your favorite parts about working as a novelist?
Let's see. I think it would be just getting to pour some of myself into it, like weave some of myself into, you know, things I've experienced and seen. I think that's fun to just resurrect, as I was telling you earlier, just to resurrect a whole new person and a whole new setting, and also to give somebody a good time in their, and give people a good time in their heads. So I think that's a lot of fun when someone tells me, you know, I really like that story, that puts a big smile on my face.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, it's just, I think when you get to talk to people who read your book and they have positive feedback, it's like, it's precious. It's there's nothing like it.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
We're at the halfway point, so I want to give you a chance to tell what your book is about and what you'd like the audience to take away from it.
Okay. A Gathering of Butterflies is a collection of four short stories, and the central characters are all strong women, and they all experience things that test their strength. And that's about all I want to say without giving too much away.
Okay. And what would you like the audience to take away from it?
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. I forgot about that.
That's okay.
Let's see. I think that, and because I wrote these stories with this theme in mind, that no one's perfect. I mean, it's very cliche, but it's, you know, just because people, you know, things look a certain way on the outside, you never know what is going on the inside. And so I would like for people to maybe, I guess, count their blessings and just to know that they came in contact with a character who had, you know, some cracks in their strength, you know, feet of clay, I guess.
Okay. What is your passion? Is writing your passion, or is there another passion that you have?
Besides reading and writing, I stay within the liberal arts vein. And and I've recently, in the last 3 years, gotten into making semi-precious jewelry. So I'm into, you know, crystals and minerals and all of those things. And yeah, I've basically become, besides that, a homebody. I just enjoy, you know, a good story and a nice cup of tea.
And a nice cup of tea.
oh, and of course chocolate, too.
Chocolate and tea together, mm-hmm. Dipping the chocolate in the tea.
It's a great idea.
Or chocolate tea. No.
I've heard of that, actually.
I don't think I've ever, no, I've heard of chocolate coffee, mocha, but I never heard it in tea. Mm-hmm. But it sounds great, especially if you're having, like, you know, emotional issues. That's two uppers.
Yeah, that's a perfect cheer-up drink.
Yeah, that sounds good. Do you have any kind of events or either online or in person that you have coming up that you'd like to tell the audience about?
No, I wouldn't say anything that's major, but they can can definitely get a taste of me through online presence. I have a blog that I publish. I've, you know, fallen down on the job a little bit within the last couple of months, but there are lots of things to pore over. I've had it for about 4 years now. And, you know, there are just things people can go there to see what's going on in Sean World.
Could you give them the website? Do you know it by heart?
Yes, I sure do. It's seanarchy.wordpress.com.
And now these are author kind questions because I have a lot of new writers out there. Do you have any advice for someone who's starting and kind of scared to get their stuff out there?
Yes, it's very simple. Just don't give up. Your writing won't be for everybody, but it will be for somebody. I have an entire binder of rejection slips that I could wallpaper my house with them. But yeah, just keep going and believe in yourself.
And how do you start when you work on your writing? Do you write in a computer? Do you write on a notebook? Do you write dribs and drabs until you start forming a story? Do you outline? Do you not outline? You know, all the different things that writers do, that everybody's different. What's your process?
Right. I like to, like you said, outline everything first on, you know, hard copy on a sheet of paper. I'll just write down, you know, the what I think the story is, the plot of the story, and then the pivotal characters, and, of course, the main characters. And, you know, I might have to just let that sit, you know, just marinate overnight, and then I begin to write, you know, I start to flesh it out on the computer because, you know, that way I can, there's fluidity in that. And that movement when you're on the computer and trying to write. I really feel for people who didn't have typewriters to write today, at least. They had no keyboard. They had to write it longhand, all the stories.
Yeah, I don't know. One of the movies I love is Little Women, and it's the old one with June Allison. And she's bringing her story, and it's all written longhand, and she has a little ribbon around it.
Oh, wow.
The publisher. I'm just imagining what it would be like to bring, or I forgot the name of it, but it's a movie about Jane Austen with Anne Hathaway, and she's bringing it in, and it's this big pile of paper. You know, it must have been really interesting to be a writer back then.
Really? And, I mean, that just seems so... scary not to have. I mean, there was no backup disk, and to make a copy was very hard.
They didn't have any way to make a copy. There was no Xerox. There was no, you know, there's no copier. There was nothing. It was just, you know, you writing, and I saw a document of, I think it was Dickens, and all his scratches on paper. I mean, it must have been difficult both as a writer and a publisher because, you know, you have to sometimes read between the lines to find where's the actual line you want to use.
Right. Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that. I guess there wasn't really lined paper back then either. I guess that came much later. I mean, oh, wow.
But of course, they wrote much more beautifully than we do. I mean, it was all... Mm-hmm. Up and down, perfect script, and you know, I write passionately. Nobody can read it except me, so that's another reason I could write at work because nobody knew what I was writing. Instead of this beautiful, perfect script, I mean, have you ever seen other old writers from different periods that? Wrote all the way from 100 years back. Their script is so gorgeous. You would be jealous. just to look at how they do that and still write such passionate stuff.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And I think it's because they didn't have all the distractions of all these modern devices. You know, you just had your, you know, your head. You know, you didn't have television and radio and, you know, phones and, you know.
Yeah, but then again, they didn't have a way to erase their mistakes or a way to copy their script.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the women writers, they used to hide their stuff from their male counterparts because, you know, they were supposed to be doing women's work. They weren't supposed to be writing.
Yes, I really feel for the female authors who had to assume a male name. And by birthright, I just got lucky that my name is Sean.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that must have been, you know, very uncool, to say the least.
Well, that happened all the way up to modern times. I mean, there's some screenwriters that had male names that were all women. In fact, some of the most famous science fiction writers were male named, but they were actually women. That happened forever. I mean, until, I'd say the 80s, maybe, that people just started putting it under their own name unless, you know, they're writing a memoir and they didn't want anybody to know who they were. But even then, they used another female name. Back then, they used male names for everything.
Right.
One of the most famous ones I could think of was DC Fontana. Her name is Dorothy Fontana. She wrote Star Trek. She was one of the people who was the screenwriters for Star Trek, teleplay writers. And, you know, when she sent out her things, they didn't see her, and they didn't know whether she was a man or a woman because she put DC. And there were others who actually used male names. Because it's very difficult for a woman, even then, to break into the industry.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
We've come a long way, baby, but we've got a long way to go.
Yes, that's true.
We have about a minute left, so this is one of my little things that I always ask. How do you balance your writing and your other personal pursuits with your family life?
It's all about planning, to just block out time. And I also know that you also can't do that. You can't always plan to write because when an idea comes to you, it comes. And if it's not there, it's just not there. And so I'm the queen of post-it notes, you know, where I'll jot something down and it's like, well, I'll get to my computer later, you know. And so it's, I guess it's not really all that much of a balancing act with me because I just have decided that, when it's there, you know, I'll find the time. And if it's not, you know, then, you know, it's just, I don't want to write right now, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed it.
Okay, thank you so much for having me. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Okay.
Thank you for chatting with Sherry.